welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer, and welcome back to the beautiful campus of Southwestern University and to our sound studio here in the library.
Thank you. I'm always happy to be here, though I have to say today I'm a little cranky.
Uh-oh. Okay. What's wrong?
Well, there's something that's kind of on my mind that I felt like maybe...
Would you like to share?
I would like to share.
And vent?
I thought I need to share and vent because I thought it could be an episode for us. So I can't help but notice when I am on just about any college or university campus, or honestly, for that matter, just walking down any street in any city, the number of people who are, their face is in their phone, they're not even looking up, they're not interacting. I mean, first of all, it's dangerous. I've seen many near accidents between pedestrians and vehicles happening, but it just makes me wonder, I mean, how are these people learning to interact with the world? What are they missing out on as far as learning to be aware of surroundings, to communicate? What are they missing? And what are the implications of that lack of connection and interaction?
Well, this is a great topic, and I'm with you. And I need to just give a little bit of a note of caution and full disclosure here before we even start going, which is that, you know, you are an adult.
Yes.
And I'm far older than you. And so I am open to the reality that maybe our feelings on this topic, and I have very strong ones that agree with yours, but I am open to the fact that maybe our feelings are just wrong and are based on our life experience, which did not involve these things. And so I just want to say on the outset that I am open to the fact that maybe this is some kind of evolution and maybe we will get better at whatever it is we are about. But that being said, I completely agree with you. So just a couple of quick observations to get us going. The first one is, I just love this. There's an app that you can buy that will basically show you a video of what's on the other side of your phone so that when you're looking basically down and not looking where you're walking, it'll show you can see where you're walking through the video, which to me is the ultimate irony that you can't even look and see the world in real life. You have to do it through your phone because you're texting and whatnot. That's the first thing. The second thing is, you're absolutely right. This happens everywhere, including at Southwestern University, I am very sorry to say. And when I pass a student who is looking down and completely missing the uplifting elements of our gorgeous historic campus, I will often walk by and sometimes they will want to run into me. You have to kind of go around them. But I will often say, tell them I say hello. And the kind of it jars them that someone is another human being there. And then I said, tell them I say hi. And they often will type in, my president says hi to you. But it's also a reminder that there are human beings and living life in the moment is something that I think is becoming lost.
Well, and I'm also with you 100%, though, on the fact that this is the reality of today and that actually – often what is happening is it is communication and it is interaction. It's just, as you say, in a different style than it was 30, 40, whatever years ago when we were younger.
But it's more than that. And I think we have to acknowledge a couple of pieces of reality here. I learned this recently from one of our health service counselors on campus. She was speaking to a bunch of students. The physical use of a smart device, I'm just thinking of a smartphone, for example. Even that screen, you know, at night when that light kind of blares and you check, that changes your physiological makeup and it changes you. And then when you're looking at things like email or like Twitter or Facebook or whatever, Instagram, what happens is it's this a fight or flight instinct. And the way that this professional put it was, we are designed so that if a lion came out to attack us, our instinct is to run. We go into emergency kind of a mindset. Our adrenaline, you know, shoots out and we run as fast as we can.
Yeah.
In some sense, what scientists are showing is that when you use your smart device for social media, it's the exact same thing. This is not a calming, relaxing, or educational or thoughtful thing. It is the fight or flight, and it builds you up. And that's the problem. That and the fact that people tend to mirror what they see, good, bad, or indifferent. And I think it takes, especially young people who are already dealing with so much on their plate, just being young and dealing with, you know, the life that, that they have in front of them. And this just amplifies, I think, that anxiety and that awfulness of being a young person. And so I don't think it's helpful at all.
Well, and so what I think about also is, so what are the implications, given that this is the reality of how many people, not just young people, conduct their lives? What then are the implications for anything from intellectual dialogue, just having conversations over dinner? I mean, how many times have you been in a restaurant and you have seen two people at a table or four people,
right,
and they're all on their phones and they're not talking to each other? So, okay, fine. They're spending their social time doing that, but there are going to be implications. Let's take a doctor patient. You've got, right, to be able to communicate verbally with each other. A patient has to be able to explain what's wrong. A doctor needs to be able to explain, here's what I think is going on and here's what you can do. You can do some of that communication, you know, through patient portals and such, but at some point we still need interpersonal interaction. And we're not learning that out in the world. Does education need to step in and start teaching some of these things that we may be losing because of our ways of communicating now?
Well, I think a lot of that happens through the liberal arts. I mean, at Southwestern, we take that very seriously. And there are faculty that, you know, ask for no smart devices. I make my students sign a contract saying that they cannot go on any smart device of any kind, computer or phone or anything, including during the breaks.
During your class
during
time?
During my class time, so that they have to interact with each other or with me, and they can't just look for the scores or engage with someone else remotely.
Now, how do they respond to that contract?
Well, first of all, I think most of them actually do abide by what they sign. So
yeah,
I think they actually
good
follow it.
Yeah.
I think some of them will roll their eyes. And by the way, and again, like I said earlier, this might be the fact that I'm just old, and roll their eyes and say, oh, he's just such an old, pathetically old guy, and he doesn't kind of get it, and we can do both. But it also leads into this thing about doing lots of things at once, trying to be so efficient that I'm going to work in parallel, and I'm going to simultaneously work on many things. And as a result, I would argue, and I think the science supports, you're not doing any of it particularly well. I am much more of the camp of fewer things, but do it deeply and do it better than lots of things done superficially. And when you talk about seeing people engaged in this in restaurants and whatnot, I'll just tell you, a few weeks ago, I was driving with a colleague of mine from university relations up in going from Dallas to Fort Worth. And at one point, we were almost sideswiped on the highway on the passenger side. So I was in the passenger side. So we almost lost the president of Southwestern because a car was just kind of weaving into the lane. And so the person driving, my colleague, honked the horn. And then as we passed, he kind of looked over and he said to me, the person was texting on the highway. So everyone's trying to be efficient. In some sense, one thing that we promote at Southwestern, and I think at other small residential liberal arts institutions, is that we pride ourselves in our inefficiency. If we want to be efficient, we'd have class sizes of, you know, 300 students in a class with a professor down there with a microphone, and you're kind of talking at them all at once. We have this intimate environment. We believe in the kind of the one-on-one mentoring and advising and whatnot. That is very inefficient. But in some sense, it's the same thing with these smart devices. Instead of being efficient and doing three things at once, focus on one thing, be still with your thoughts, and grow.
So let's focus now,
yes,
for a minute or two on the puzzler.
Oh, from last time?
From last time. There's a puzzler on the table.
There is.
We are looking for a solution.
It was dedicated to someone. Do you remember who was dedicated to?
It was dedicated to me.
Mm-hmm. How did you, as you reflect on that, did that amplify at all, or you forgot about it?
No, well, because
that I wrote this puzzle dedicated to you?
Well, that was very meaningful,
thank
I have
you
to say.
Thank
and
you
then also, I did refer back to the sketch I had drawn where I figure
were
prominently.
Where you were taller than Scott Simon?
Depiction, yes.
Okay, I'm sure he will forgive you. Let me remind our listeners what that puzzler was and see what you said.
Okay.
So Jennifer Staten appears in a photograph with NPR hosts all lined up together. It turns out that she is standing in the eighth position from both sides of this line of hosts. And the question is, how many hosts are there in the photo?
And you mean total. So including total. Me. So I think the thing interesting about this puzzler is I think there's a quick answer that you might come up with without much reflection.
And what was that?
Well, I think the quick answer without much reflection is 16, which is actually, I believe, not correct. That's not the answer I came
up with.
Because
that's 8 and 8.
Right. That's 8 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
But it sort of relates to our conversation, which is that if you're trying to do a bunch of things at once and you're just trying to sort of get through it fast,
yeah.
then you go, oh, they're 8 and 8. Oh, that's 16.
Right.
But actually, I believe that if there is one person in the middle who is 8 in from either side, you've only got 7 on either side.
You're being flanked by 7 on either side.
Seven,
so that's 14.
Plus 1 is 15. So actually, we have not created another. So I think it's 15. But there, you know, if you go down a different path, you may come up with 16, but I think it's 15.
You may come up with 16, but the correct answer is 15. You're absolutely uh-huh. right. And the way you described it is perfect, that if you're in the eighth position, that means there's 7 on one side of you and 7 on the other. You add those two up, and then you have only one you, and that gives you the 15. And that's exactly right. The natural guess would be just to double the 8, but then you're counting yourself twice.
Right. Well, and there is only one me.
Sadly,
there's only one me. So as we wrap up here, I want to bring up another point about sort of this intersection of technology and how it impacts learning and communicating and thinking that I've been thinking about as we've been discussing this. You know, I think it's possible that, well, first of all, a lot of this technology is great and helpful. It's not that the technology in and of itself is bad or not useful. It's incredibly useful and helpful. So it's not an either or situation here. It's not as if you can either engage with these smart devices a lot or you can be an effective interpersonal communicator. You can do both, but you just have to be mindful that you're going to need to seek out those interpersonal interactions, that kind of communication that can only come in person because these smart devices are so ubiquitous. But they can coexist, can't they?
You're absolutely right. And it's an excellent point that, you know, the technology that we have today and that we carry with us is extraordinarily important and powerful and positive. The fact that we can look up any fact that we want on Google or wherever is something that I'm sure everyone, all of our listeners use. I use it. I know I'm sure you use it as well.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's a very powerful tool for information and to access things. So that, I think, is extremely important, and we should never put that down. It's also a powerful way of learning skills. I mean, I've got 4,000 math videos out there. I'm not going to say too much against technology, because if you want to, you know, learn how to take a derivative, watch my video. That won't change your life. For the life-changing experience, that involves live human interaction and engagement. But it's a very powerful tool. My concerns primarily lie on the social side, as you point out, the idea that somehow we can build these, the fact that you can friend people or whatever it's called, it's an artificial sense of having friends. A friend is someone who's there for you, who you can engage with in a way that is meaningful. And I would argue, again, this could be my old fashioned side, and kind of there for you, not virtually, but really. And, you know, having a lot of followers or a lot of friends on one of these social media sites to me is not as meaningful as having a couple of people who you know you can count on for your entire life, who truly know you. And I think that's the problem that I have going forward with the technology, that and the fact that everyone is more engaged with that than living. Like the way I put it is live a life live and in your space that you're in, and don't live somewhere else.
Well, Ed, thank you for engaging us, and thank you for our always engaging dialogue. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu, and you can keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. You can also find us on iTunes. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT News.